There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome to College Football Live, presented by Dr. Pepper.
Oh, yeah. LSU and Alabama.
There are stars all over this football field.
It's crazy. A lot of excitement. Always a fun game. Probably the funnest game of the year.
Tuscaloosa is not an easy place to play. It's not an easy place to win. Nick Saban's the Bill Belichick in my eyes.
Our offense has really been clicking. I think Joey Burrow is going to get the job done in Tuscaloosa.
Jerry Jeudy? You got Jerry Jeudy out there? Man. I mean, look, I feel like Jerry Jeudy going to go off again.
I think it's going to come down to defense, who defense played better.
They just have a system. They've been rolling, but I think this is the year.
LSU is going to Tuscaloosa the same way Rocky went to Russia, and we coming home with a win.
It's Bama.
There you go. Cut.
They are ready for LSU Alabama, and we are as well. Peter Burns, Emmanuel Acho, and Jonathan Vilma. Gentlemen, we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about Southern Cal getting a new athletic director a little bit later in the show. But Tom Rinaldi, Marty Smith, they've been embedded with LSU and Alabama all week long. Tom Rinaldi, what's the latest on Tua?
There's a good chance he'll play. In short, that was how Nick Saban qualified his expectations for Tua Tagovailoa facing LSU come Saturday. He did so, though, with an important disclaimer that Tua has no setbacks and that he continues to improve physically. This is the 18th day since Tua had the tightrope procedure to his right ankle after suffering the high ankle sprain against Tennessee. He's also gone through four practices. In terms of what the media was able to observe during those open periods of the practice on Wednesday, Tua, in particular, in the shotgun rolling away from the pocket, looked quick, comfortable, and accurate. All very good signs. The last time Tua had this procedure, a year ago, after the SEC championship game, he had 4 weeks to recover and then play in the CFP semifinal against Oklahoma. This time, he will have 3 weeks to face the Tide's toughest test so far, LSU. For more on the Tigers, here's Marty Smith.
Thank you, Tommy. These LSU Tigers are extremely confident heading into the Game of the Century 2.0. In speaking with several players here on Wednesday, safety Jacoby Stevens said to me, the past couple of years, we've told ourselves we thought we could beat Alabama. This time around, we know we have the firepower to beat Alabama. One big reason, of course, that extremely potent offense implemented this season by passing game coordinator Joe Brady and executed so deftly by quarterback Joe Burrow. I asked Burrow, what have you learned about yourself this season running that offense? He said very flatly, nothing. I always knew this season would come. I know the work I've put in over the past 12 years of my life. I knew that this would happen. The numbers don't lie. He's currently the Heisman front runner. Now, LSU hasn't beaten Alabama in the last eight tries. Everyone here in Baton Rouge is tired of that stat, but that's just the truth. I asked Coach Ed Orgeron what level of motivation there is because of that stat. He said, is it motivation for the fan base? Yes. Is it motivation for me as a coach? Yes. But we don't preach that message to our team. We won't bring any negative energy in. This is a new team, and we are prepared as we head to Tuscaloosa. Peter.
Thank you, Marty. And according to the All-State Playoff Predictor, yeah, it's a pretty big one. And by the way, this is why I love just a four-team college football playoff, because it feels like everything is on the line. If it was eight teams, hey, it would be a nice weekend. But I digress. All right, Vilma, let's start with this. We understand, right? Tua's going to play in this game, right? He's going to probably be 100% and good. But how can LSU try to slow down Tua in this high-power tight offense?
In the first 15 plays, Burnsy, I need LSU's defense to, one, press the corners up on the wide receivers, and then, two, blitz Tua at least half of those snaps. And not just the normal blitzes. You have to make it glaringly obvious, blitzing from one side to another. And the reason you're doing that is because you want to make him run on that ankle. You want him to get out of this controlled environment where he can sit back in the pocket. So when you watch Georgia, what they did against his ankle, they were coming from all over the place, but particularly from the outsides, forcing him to cut, make make movements on that ankle. If he can't do that, then he's going to be a long day for Alabama because they have to find a way to match points with LSU.
Look, Vilma, I challenge fans to go back and watch that last play we just showed on the clip right there against Georgia last year. To your point, JV, and you're exactly right. Tua threw his first interception, I believe it was, against Georgia in the SEC championship last year, not by happenstance. It came directly after he took a big-time hit, and it appeared that he got rolled up on. It was a mental mistake. Football is a mental game. If you're focused on an injury here, an ailment there, you're bound to collapse mentally. I think LSU has to get after Tua. I think that's really how they have to win that ball game.
Yeah, and Acho, they're going to have to do it without Michael Divinity. Remember, he's no longer on the team, dismissed from the LSU squad earlier this week. So that's a big loss for those Tigers. When it comes to good on good, right, we were talking about Tua and Burrow. Acho, what's the matchup you're really looking forward to watching?
Dude, I can't get more excited for a football game because it's unstoppable force in Bama's receivers, immovable object, and LSU's DBs at their best. Take a look at some of the tape from early on in the season. Jerry Jeudy in the slot. What you're going to see is a now screen. Means the ball's coming out right now. The two outside receivers, they're blocking. Well, the defensive back, you just got to make a tackle in the telephone booth 4 yards away. You ain't tackling Jerry Jeudy from 4 yards away. And here's what I love. Jerry Jeudy has defenders beating himself up in the middle of the play. So disappointed. Well, check me out on the flip side. Texas runs the exact same play Bama ran. A now screen. But Grant Delpit is safety. He ain't worried about that problem. Not right now. Not back then. 11 yards of distance. The toughest play to make in football. An open field tackle. No problem for Delpit. Makes the tackle. Gets up. And bangs on his chest a couple times. So to me, that's what this matchup is all about. Greatness versus greatness.
Yeah, and they're hoping that Delpit's going to be 100%. Ed Ogeron said he's good to go, but did miss three practices earlier this week. All right, so when we start looking at this, JV, it's been, what, eight in a row, right? Since it's been 2011, 9-6, game of the century. How much does that play into a game like this, just LSU kind of, you know, Alabama being in their heads?
Well, I look at the team as a whole, LSU, and they have to be in a position that they've never been before. So how do they react to that position, right? And that position is having the lead. Have the lead against Alabama in the third quarter. Have the lead against Alabama in the fourth quarter, knowing that Alabama at home is going to give them everything that they have to try to win this game. So that is the mantra. That's the mindset right now for LSU. Yeah, we want to win this game. But all of a sudden, the reality sets in. Uh-oh, we're up. What do we do now? We're not playing catch-up. How do we hold the lead? Do they get nervous? Not just the players. Do the coaches get nervous? Or do they continue to call the same game plan to continue and then win the game?
Let's put some numbers out there, JV, to make fans really feel this. Alabama, 78-4 at home since 2008. Alabama, 31 consecutive wins at home. But I heard Coach O on Get Up earlier in the week, and all he said was this, gentlemen, we coming. When he said we coming, that's all I needed to know. LSU is coming, and they are coming with bad intentions. To answer your question, though, Burns, I got whooped by UCLA my junior year. They came into Austin, Texas, beat the brakes off of us. Maybe 34-6. We go out the next year to the Rose Bowl. Mack Brown, he huddles us up. Enjoy the Rose Bowl. Enjoy the atmosphere. I, as a senior, get the team together. I say, hey, we got one goal, and that's to win. We won that game 49-7. So I think all the lashes LSU have been taking, that's fuel and that's motivation to put it on Bama.
All right, Acho, are they coming? Are you calling it your shot right now? LSU defeating Alabama in Tuscaloosa?
Yo, no question. LSU's getting the dub. And all I had to hear was, we coming. Go Tigers.
JV, what do you think?
I have LSU also. I didn't get his hype. I didn't get to hear Ogeron say that we coming, but I love what they bring it to the table right now. I don't know who's going to stop Joe Burrow.
I'm saying healthy Tua or not, I think LSU wins this game, and it's not because of Joe Burrow, guys, or those wide receivers. I think it's going to be because of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, arguably one of the most slept-on quarter or running backs in all of college football. He's going to have success, and the Tide streak will end. All right, we got a lot more coming up, including these Heisman. Look at these numbers, guys. It's unbelievable. When you start looking at the Heisman update brought to you by Nissan, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like PlayStation-type numbers. Both of those guys, top of FBS in many categories this season. Burrow on pace to be the most accurate passer in FBS history, while Tua tops the QBR charts.
This Heisman update
is brought to you by Nissan, premier partner of the Heisman Trophy.
All right, Minnesota's been rowing the boat all season long. Will they actually face a healthy quarterback the entire game? A crazy stat coming up for Minnesota and Penn State. And another fantastic storyline this season, Baylor Bears and Matt Rhule. But have they met their football kryptonite in TCU?
College Football Live is presented by Ice Cold Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. You're watching College Football Live, presented by Dr. Pepper.
Stand up! Stand up!
Come on, college football.
It's hot!
Oh yeah, what a good ball.
Come on. Stand up!
Here we go!
Stand up!
Here we go!
Oh, yeah.
The biggest marquee game every week on College Game Day.
My goodness, is it Saturday yet? Time for this weekend's Wendy's Weekend Watch. Of course, LSU-Bama going to be a big one. Baylor over at TCU as well. Iowa State-Oklahoma, that's the nightcap. But again, it kicks off at noon over on ABC. Penn State-Minnesota. And JV, we were talking about LSU-Bama. You were equally as excited to break down this one. I know College Game Day is not going to be there, but why are we rowing the boat so hard for this one?
Man, I'm so excited for this because this is my JV Jumbo squad, Burnsy. That's why I'm so excited for it. We're talking about one of the best defenses in Penn State right now going against Minnesota. Row the boat. Give me a break. We're talking about the best right now in yards per rush in Penn State, led by that man right there, Jonathan Sutherland. You're also talking about tied for the best in college football with the fourth fewest TDs allowed, pass TDs allowed, and then you have Shaka Toney at the front. That's a reason why they don't give up many passing touchdowns. The defense is set and ready to go for Minnesota. And matter of fact, it's going to be another notch on Minnesota's belt for them to make a case for being better than number four in the college football playoff size, to be even higher than that. I can't wait to see the Penn State defense. They will be pounding their chest after this game.
Here's the thing, JV, of all the times one of your jawbone squads better show the heck up, it's this week. Because Penn State has everything to lose. Minnesota, they don't really have much to lose. If they lose, they're still going to represent their side more than likely of the Big Ten, make it to the Big Ten championship game. Obviously, they got to handle business late against Wisconsin. But Penn State, on the other hand, if they take an L here, remember, they still have Ohio State, so they can't afford to falter at all. You haven't missed lately, JV, but you sure as heck better be right on this one.
I'm trying to see what's going to be.
They will be ready. They're hearing me. Trust me.
They better be ready, because here's one of the things that's kind of crazy, too. Penn State outscoring their opponents plus 80 in the first quarter. So if the Gophers are able to keep it tight close, let's see how that game develops. But they've actually had a little bit of luck. Guys, check this out, right? Minnesota opposing starting QBs in Big Ten play this season. All right, Purdue, their quarterback got injured the first quarter. Illinois, Nebraska, Rutgers, Maryland. My goodness, and talking about the kryptonite that is, the Gophers defense getting a little bit lucky facing these quarterbacks. So when it comes down to it, Acho, is there something in the water, or is there something that Minnesota can do this week to pull off the upset?
You know, Burnsy, there's a saying in football, you create your own luck. But I think that graphic has nothing to do with Minnesota creating luck on that end. But let's spin it this way. Minnesota's going to have to find ways to score non-traditionally, meaning not offensively. Maybe you can steal an interception. Maybe you can score on teams, special teams, punt return, kick return. In games like this that are very emotional, Penn State better realize they're going to get Minnesota's best shot, which means Minnesota has to give them their best shot. You've got to find another way to score.
You know, I'm loving what you just said, Acho, because that should be the game plan for James Franklin when he goes into this game. Look, Minnesota, we're on the road against Minnesota. They're going to give us their best shot. Expect a low-scoring game. Don't expect a blowout. Expect it to be a tough matchup. Matter of fact, we played in a tough matchup against Pittsburgh early in the season and came out victorious. We can do the exact same thing, rely on our defense. We have the better skilled players in K.J. Hamler, Noah Kane at running back. These guys make plays for him when necessary. So that should be the game plan. I hope that's a low-scoring, brawl-out game.
Yeah, it just kind of feels like a Big Ten football. Just let's go. It's getting November. The weather's getting a little bit cooler. Mm-hmm. By the way, Penn State has won 5 of the last 6 against the Gophers. All right, we got a lot of great college football coming up, including that game, ABC College Football, Penn State at Minnesota. And then we got a little Saturday Night Football presented by Bass Pro Shops in Cabela. Clemson at North Carolina State, kind of a de facto playoff game always for Clemson because of the ACC schedule. All right. A team that continues to be a great storyline, guys, is the Baylor Bears and Matt Rhule. Acho, they're facing TCU. TCU's had a lot of success against the Bears. What happens this weekend?
Well, I watched the Horned Frogs up close and personally upset the Texas Longhorns, and I can't even call it an upset. TCU might have been a favorite. Let's talk Baylor now. Baylor's going to be ready to play Oklahoma next. They're going to be ready to play Texas after that. The question is, will they be ready to play TCU? This could be the trap game, to use the old cliche. Again, you see, chances to win. Not very high against OU, and Baylor knows that. This, to me, is a game that could knock Baylor out of the Big 12 championship game. They're going to win either Oklahoma or Texas. I fervently believe that. But TCU, that's where you can't afford to fall.
Wait a minute. Guys, are we really buying? Is there such a thing called a trap game? I mean, JV, is that really a thing, or is that just media and fan related? Like, do teams actually start looking past the TCU squad?
No, that's a real thing. No, okay. Burnsy, that is a real thing. We're talking about when the media talks about a trap game from a player's perspective, it's about the emotions. And if you can't get emotionally charged for a game and you have your opponent that is playing this game as if it's their national championship college football playoff game and you can't match them emotionally, It doesn't matter how gifted you are physically. It doesn't matter what the X's and O's are. If it's man on man and I am ready to beat your butt and you're not ready to play, that is the trap game. That's the trap in a trap game, when you're not emotionally ready to go out and go against your opponent.
And JV, I'm going to add to that. Let's take it one step further, Burns. So many fans, they only know football from Madden or from the reminiscent NCAA football game, right? But keep in mind, these are college kids. They watch ESPN like you and I are on it. All they hear all day is the Alabama versus the LSU game, the Penn State versus Minnesota game. You think Baylor's really going to be that hype at noon against TCU? No, they're not looking up and seeing the sky cam rolling. To them, it's just another game. Could for sure be a trap game.
I'm looking forward to it, and obviously to see which one of those teams gets a little bit more love after this weekend. All right, I got a lot more coming up over on College Football Live, including, all right, that guy, Clay Helton, he's coaching Southern Cal, and he's got a new athletic director. But right now, let's hear Nick Saban on Tua's offense.
On this episode of Detail, we're going to look at the RPO concepts on both sides of the ball. You know, Tua sees it pre-snap, and that's what these spread-out formations do. They make the defense declare itself. So they would have a hard time disguising a split safety coverage here, which they can't do. And again, we're running the slants outside. The defenders on the slots have outside leverage, so best opportunity for a completion. Be sure to catch the new Season 3 of Detail with me, Nick Saban, exclusively on ESPN+.
How about Nick Saban? Even nailing the promo read. Impressive on that Detail thing on ESPN+. We got a triple header on ACC Network, ESPN app, BC, Florida State, Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, and then a good one on ACC Network, primetime football, Notre Dame versus Duke.
College Football Live is presented by Ice Cold Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville.
The College Football Playoff Top 25 Ranking Show, Tuesday at 7 on ESPN.
One Final Team is brought to you by Ice Cold Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville.
All right, let's take a look at the One Final Team vote brought to you by Dr. Pepper. Results are in and show me! Yes, the Clemson Tigers. 44% of you that have voted are saying, hey, Tigers are in. I think we all agree with that, guys. I think that, you know, that if Clemson wins out, undefeated Power 5 team, they will be that one final team in the college football playoffs. So we move from the Dr. Pepper One Final Team to the Dr. Pepper Championship Drive Game of the Week. And Oh, my goodness. It's going to be a tough task for Mizzou, trying to slow down that man. Number seven, DeAndre Swift, second in the SEC in rushing. Missouri allows over 130 yards rushing per game. I think that the Georgia Bulldogs have a little success, especially no Cale Garrett for the Missouri Tigers. Football Power Index gives the Bulldogs an 87% chance to win that game. Did they win the day? That's what people are asking about the Trojans, as they have a new athletic director, Mike Bone. That's who USC named it as new AD on a news conference in L.A. over on Thursday from Cincinnati. So let's start with you, JV. How good of a job is it right now taking over from Lynn Swann, and what does this mean for Clay Helton?
I view USC, I view Texas, I view Miami, or the big three in the state of Florida, as always going to be premier jobs for an AD and for a head coach, so long as you know what you're doing. Also throw in there Ohio State, throw in there Michigan. So he has come from an administrative background. He is in Bone, has come from an administrative background his whole career. He knows what he's doing. He hired Luke Fickle over at Cincinnati, who's done a phenomenal job. So I expect good things from Mike Bone.
Yeah, the question for in order for there to be good things is, who's going to be the head football coach? Mike Bone needs to make a decisive decision, and he needs to do it quickly. At the end of the season, make a very succinct, decisive decision and stand behind whoever this head coach is going to be. Nobody's sure if it's going to be Clay Helton. And in fact, a lot of people doubt it's going to be Clay Helton. It appears that he's sitting on a rather hot seat. But I know this much. Whatever Bone decides to do, it's in his best interest to support him and move forward quickly. I was at Texas when they changed ADs and then changed ADs again, and they ran through head coaches from Mack Brown to Charlie Strong and then to Tom Herman. It's not pretty. And like you said, JV, at perennial powerhouse type of programs, you need everyone to be on the same page.
Yeah, and guys, it's not even the Southern Cal, too. It's just the Pac-12 in general, right? The entire conference needs Southern Cal to be one of those blue bloods, or you know, red bloods, as you would call it, with their team, to kind of become relevant. No offense to Utah and Oregon, who are still relevant right now. Gentlemen, we're going to have some great football this weekend. I do like that turtleneck. Acho, you going to keep wearing that this year or what?
No.
We might.
No.
We might.
No.